Hello, we are in a preparation lesson for the World Congress in Latin America, Building the Future Society. We'll read the study materials of lesson number one, From the Point in the Heart to Attend. You can ask questions on the website, and selected questions will be asked during the lesson.
We're studying, we hear, we read, that the main thing is to restore the broken kli that went through the destruction, the shattering of the tree of knowledge that already happened before us, that this is how we got it, broken, as a kind of preparation for our work. And what we have to do is, as it says, the main thing is the action. The main thing, the action being what? As it says, and they made me a temple, and I dwelled in it. This is the action. And that's all there is to do. And this is what we have to learn, how to build the temple, the holy kli, meaning that's entirely in order to bestow. What is it made out of? Our bricks, each and every stone, the stony heart that can connect to the other parts, the other stones. And this is how we will build the temple, actually out of our ego, out of the broken kelim, that will glue them together and reach adhesion between us. And that will make place for the upper force, for the Creator, to dwell in us. And that's called, and I have dwelled in them. This is our work. Therefore, when we talk about building a future society, we have to see the final action and the initial thought in terms of what do we have to do. And this is what we have to be drawn to all the time. That's all there is to do. There's no other work to do. There's no other goal set before us. And therefore, in each and every thought, in each and every thing, whatever you do, and every desire, we always need to think, how beneficial is it to the building of this tower, full of abundance and plenty. That's called the temple and so on. So, this is actually the spirit that has to roam here in our society all the time. And let's head towards that and also realize it in the upcoming congresses. Let's go over the first lesson from the upcoming Congress. The Congress that will take place in Mexico. Please.
Excerpt number one from lesson number one, From the Point in the Heart to Attend. So expert one, from the article, what degree should one reach so he won't have to reincarnate?
Meaning, our entire direction to scrutinize how do we build this temple, as it says, and they have made me a temple.
All the souls extend from the soul of Adam Rishon. For after he sinned in the sin of the tree of knowledge, his soul divided into 600,000 souls. This means that the one light that Adam Rishon had, which the Holy Zohar called Ziyaraila'a, upper brightness, which he had in the Garden of Eden, at once spreads into numerous pieces.
again.
All of the souls extend from the soul of Adam HaRishon. For after he sinned in the sin of the tree of knowledge, his soul divided into 600,000 souls. This means that the one light that Adam HaRishon had, which the holy Zohar called Ziharaila, upper brightness, which he had in the Garden of Eden at once, spreads into numerous pieces.
The light, it's just one. There's just one light. How could it be that it divides into many lights? Kelim, yes, desires, they can be different every time. Such, but lights. How's that possible? The light is the creator. The light is the upper light. Its attribute is to be one. Its quality. How could it be that it divides into many small lights? I think every light has the role of its own.
Rav, what do we get from this rule that there's one light and it doesn't divide on its own? And no changes take place in it, that all the changes are only in the vessels. What does that rule give us? That there's one light, and only the vessels are going through different inspirations and impressions from it. And they divide it, or decrease it, or increase it. What does it point to? From Bala Sulam, 60,000 souls, in the world there's only one soul. And that one soul is included in each one of the sons of Israel, each one in perfection, just as the Adam Rishon, because the spiritual will not be divided. That is exactly part of the corporeal. What he said, that there are 60,000 souls and sparks of souls, it seems that it divides under the force of one's body, meaning first the body separates and prevents the glow of the soul everywhere, but out of the forces of the Torah and mitzvah, the body will be purified, and to that extent, the general soul can light upon him.
This is how we have to accept this. And it's not a big deal that there are people for whom it's even hard to hear these things. That connection is the process that we have to go through in order to reveal the Creator. The Creator is so exalted, it's something that's unperceivable, that's in a completely different dimension, that we don't grasp Him. We can't grasp Him in our intellect or our emotions. We can't put Him together as a puzzle. We can't grasp all of our different changes and discernments to collect this image, to somehow feel Him, for Him to become clear somehow, on the one hand. On the other hand, it says that it comes through these corporeal efforts that in our world, people try to do it this way. And it pans out, it doesn't. We don't understand what's the relation between this and that, that I'll smile to others, that I'll be to other nice to others, that I'll somehow arrange my corporeal relations with them. We see these things as an unserious game. We tried doing this many times in our life, and this is how we're in a lie towards each other all the time, that in order to be good towards each other externally without changing our inner nature, because this is our inner character. But here we have to understand that there is a special component in spirituality called the reforming light. that there is a special force here that we can draw, and this force will change our nature. And even though that we don't want it, even though that we don't want to be engaged in the connection, in getting closer to each other and supporting each other, even though that we don't want it, we are forced to do it in order to come closer to the Creator. And truly, there's hard work here, and we need very strong persuasion. We have to apply very strong persuasion to ourselves so that eventually we'll even do things without the desire, that are really against the desire, that are as if mockery, that are as if in make-believe. But still, by that, according to how the system, the upper system's built, we awaken the reforming light, even in each and every false effort that we make. And actually, the falser it is, the less natural it is, meaning the more distant from our ego it is, and still we do it. Then by that, we awaken a stronger light. And so, we have a paradox here, that people that can't stand coming closer to each other, can't hear about it, can't talk about it, in general, they can't accept this rule. If they make a small effort, by that, they awaken a very strong reforming light. According to the rule that anyone greater than his friends, his desires are greater than his. Did you read two? No. Go ahead.
Excerpt number two from the article A Point in the Heart from the writings of Rabash. It is written, "And let them make me a temple, and I will dwell within them." This pertains to the point in the heart, which should be a temple where the light of the Creator dwells. As it is written, "And I will dwell within them." Hence, one should try to build a structure of Kedusha, holiness, and the structure should be able to contain the upper abundance called abundance poured from the giver to the receiver. However, according to the rule, there must be equivalence of form between the giver and the receiver. So the receiver too must have the aim to bestow like the giver. This is called action. As it is written, "Let them make me a temple," where the article applies to the kli and not to the light, since the light pertains to the Creator, and only action pertains to the created beings.
Here we're a bit confused. The will to receive, it doesn't change. This is a given from nature. It remains a stone. It remains the will to receive, a creation that came from the Creator. The Creator Himself is the will to bestow. We have to invent for ourselves an intention of in order to bestow. And then these bricks, they can join together, adhere to each other, and then to the extent to which they're adhered to one another, they can also get the Creator's will to bestow. Therefore, there are three components here. The Creator, the will to bestow. The created being, the will to receive. And the intention that can be formed in the creation by the reforming light, by the Creator, for it to be the intention or to bestow, which is some kind of crest, some intention that's formed inside the stone, the stony heart, which remains a stone, but already there's something in it from the Creator by which it can exist this way and bestow like the Creator, but in its intention, meaning that he rises above his own nature in order to receive and uses his nature to actually work in opposition to his initial nature in order to bestow. This is what it means, and they made me a temple, and I will dwell within them. This pertains to the point in the heart, which should be a temple, where the light of the Creator dwells, as it is written, and I will dwell within them. Hence, one should try to build his structure of Gdusha, and the structure should be able to contain the upper abundance, called abundance poured from the giver to the receiver, according to the equivalence of form. However, according to the rule, there must be equivalence of form between the giver and the receiver. So the receiver, too, must have the aim to bestow like the giver. Then there will be equivalence of form. On part of the created being, it'll be an intention, or part of the Creator, it'll be his nature of bestowing. And this is called action, as it is written, let them make me a temple, where the action applies to the kli, and not to the light, since the light pertains to the Creator, and only the action pertains to the creatures. Meaning that to do actions, but we don't do any actions. So only to ask, to pray, to have the expectation for the Creator to give us the force that will build the intention in order to bestow in us. So, what's the connection between the Creator and the created being? What's the difference between them? How can the Creator and created being be connected between them? Talk about it. Quickly.
The whole world, the quality of bestowal.
Excerpt number 3, Bala Sulam, letter 4. You lack nothing but to go out to a field that the Lord has blessed and collect all those flaccid organs that have drooped from your soul and join them into a single body.
We need to just thank the Creator for preparing the shattering of the vessels, that we feel ourselves distant, rejecting one another, don't want to come close, because to the extent that we attain the distance between us, we attain the place to work, to make the efforts, where we need to make the efforts. And even though there's a resistance to connect all the intentions and desires that are given, that are scrutinized in every moment, that's what he writes. You lack nothing but to go out to the field that the Lord has blessed. What field? You have nothing in that field. Everything is destroyed. But through the ruins that you attain, as much as everything is ruined, you can raise a prayer. And what? To gather those flaccid organs from your soul. It's all your soul, this whole big vessel, this shattered vessel. It's yours. You are Adam Rishon. You are the Adam. And the others aren't. The others are your parts. That's how each and every one, that it doesn't disturb the other in anything. He needs to depict it for himself, that all of creation is for me, the world was created for me, and in this way we need to work. Meaning, each one is responsible for correcting the whole world. And that is why we need to support one another as much as we can, that each one of us
משכו ממש
will fulfill his obligation in correcting the world into a whole. So I have to see in every friend a part that corrects the world, his full world. And in this way, we need to help one another, that he will correct his world, that I will correct my world, man will help his friend. And in this way, that each of us, from their, everyone from his point of Malchut, correcting the world, we are connecting to the whole, full, true vessel, restoring Adam Rishon in all its glory. So not to be afraid, to help everyone, to go out into that field that the Creator is blessed in the work, and supply everyone with support. By that we will succeed. My question is, how do we do it in practice? Because without man will help his friend, we won't be able to do anything. How do we help each other correct the whole world? Each one's individual world. Please.
To rise above.
Rav, Baal HaSulam writes that we're not lacking anything. On one hand, to go out into the field that the Creator blessed. The other part is to gather the flaccid organs. What are those two actions? That except for that, we're not lacking anything. Only do that. Short.
On the other hand, to excerpt number 4, Rabash, love of friends, 1. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" Meaning, "How can I help you?" And he said, "I seek my brothers. By being together with my brothers, that is, by being in a group where there is love of friends, I will be able to mount the trail that leads to the house of God. This trail is called a path of bestowal, and this way is against our nature. To be able to achieve it, there is no other way but love of friends, by which everyone can help his friend." Rav, what's so special about the attribute of bestowal that we have to attain, that only this way, like he tells us, like Rabash tells us, that only this way we can reach it? What's special in the connection that we have to achieve? And read it again.
Again, number 4. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?"
There have to be certain conditions here, that there is this case called wandering in the field.
Meaning, how can I help you?
That he met someone that's in front of him. And what then?
How can I help you? And he said, "I seek my brothers. By being together with my brothers, that is, by being in a group where there is love of friends, I will be able to mount the trail that leads to the house of God. This trail is called a path of bestowal, and this way is against our nature. To be able to achieve it, there is no other way but love of friends, by which everyone can help his friend."
What's special about that connection called that there's a man wandering in the field, met another man, and then one asks the other what's going on with him, what does he need, what is he looking for. He says, I'm looking for my brothers. What does it mean? What does he need them for? What's this entire story about? What special state of connection is he talking about here? It's not people, it's inner qualities, the inner qualities inside us that need to be revealed and to reach some sort of connection. Yeah?
He really wants to implement it.
Rav, who found the man wandering in the field? It says, and they found a man and he was wandering in the field. Who found him? Who was looking for him? Or they just found him. He was just found. How can we see that he's wandering in the field? That he's asked, say, what's going on? What's happening? Why do they turn to him with a question? What are you asking for? What are you seeking?
It seems as though the man wandering in the field.
Who does he meet? That man wandering in the field. Who does he meet? He meets someone who tells him, I can help you. Just say, what do you need? It says, how can I help you? What kind of situation is this? Suppose we're instead of that person who's wandering the field. What exactly don't we understand? We're lost. We don't know anything. Suddenly, we stumble upon someone that tells us, what do you want? What are you seeking? Ask. How can I help you? So, it's some kind of savior. So, what is he asking? What is he saying? The man wandering in the field, he said, look, I'm not wandering. I'm looking for my brothers. So that person, that guy that's willing to be the guide, what does he tell him? Go like this, like that, and you'll find them. How does all of this happen inside the person? Not in a theater act, but inside a person, in one body. How does it happen? Let's go.
About
Rob, questions.
Ken.
Yeah.
What's a stony heart? Why is corporeality come against a stony heart? If I understand correctly, how can I speed up the correction of the stony heart?
Actually, the stony heart is called our will to receive, that I can't invert into the will to bestow. When I approach it, I want to invert it into something else for it to become alive, for it to give, to feel. It feels only what's inside it. What enters it, this is what it feels. What's outside of it, doesn't feel. Therefore, it's called the stony heart. Leva Evan. Why is it so hard? Because you can't turn it, you can't invert it. It's like the nature that the Creator created. You can't change it. So, no point in doing anything because you won't succeed. Therefore, it's called Lev Aven, the heart of stone. It's just how our nature is. And that you have complaints, that you're accusing the will to receive, that it's not bestowing, that's foolishness. You have to understand that this is its nature.
How can we still speed up the correction of the stony heart?
Besides that, there is the concept of Lev Aven in our work, that we can bring the intention in order to bestow to each of our desires, besides a special layer of the desire, where there is the intention of in order to bestow, it doesn't stick. It can't work with it in any way. And no matter how much the upper light penetrates into the will to receive, it can't build above it the intention in order to bestow. There is a certain limit. So this limit that remains is called the stony heart, Lev Aven, heart of stone. This is in terms of our work, not in terms of nature, because a rock is a rock, but to the extent to which it cannot relate itself to in order to bestow, even though that it is a stone.
Why is the temple built from stone?
The simple answer is that you have no other material. There's wood, there are different metals, there are different substances, but eventually, rocks. Stones. Because this is the fundamental basic will to receive. Right. So, yeah.
The last excerpt about the man wandering in the field. Well, what degree is this? The more we read this, it sounds like this is about a very advanced stage in the work.
This is how it'll be with any excerpt. Always. What do you think? It says, En mikra yotze midei pshuto. But that's the wonder in the Torah.
It sounds, we were also speaking, that it's very, very scrutinized man, that the one wandering in the field, he knows exactly what he wants. He's searching for his friends, he knows how to ask for help, he... I remember the first time I read this many years ago. It sounded like a nice story. Yeah, a person is going out for a walk.
You'll see. You'll discover further discernments. What else? Yeah.
I wanted to continue about this. Somewhere else he writes that I came and there was no person. That, so here we're speaking about one person or a ten? The man wandering in the field. Is it already a ten together?
No, it's someone who wants to see that there's already a blessing from above in the ten, because it's an equivalence of form with the upper force. In the meantime, he's looking for how to connect. The truth is that searching for connection happens on all degrees, only in more and more advanced states, but it's always like that man wandering in the field, and it's always the Creator that meets him and says, what are you asking for? What are you seeking for? What do you need? And then accordingly guides him. The main thing is to reveal the man.
I wanted to continue what they were asking here about the stony heart. You said that you can't stick on it, the intention to bestow.
Any desire is a stone, but the heart of stone means that I discover such a desire that will never, that can never relate itself to bestowal in any way.
Meaning that maybe we can say that the moment the stony heart is corrected, you can call it he and his name are one?
No. We don't mean that. Maybe it's correct, but if I say that, then I have to be responsible, you know. People might use it everywhere, so I can't do that. Let's continue.
Number 5 from Rabash, letter 21. This is the only point on which we must make every effort, that one is acquired from the point in the heart, since each point in the heart gives strength to work. But if this force is used to serve the environment, again, this is the only point on which we must make every effort that one has acquired from the point in the heart, since each point in the heart gives strength to work. But if this force is used to serve the environment,
he wants to say that we have to find pinpointed point of contact, just one point. That's all we need. Everything else, if there is such a point, we can expand it, we can continue it. What does it mean? What is this point that we like? It's like a drop that sticks. How can we find this drop, this point that brings us the point of adhesion with one another? What is there about each of us that we are capable of reaching adhesion between us, connection between us? What is that point? Please. Afterwards, we only extend and expand it.
Is that field that,
Rav, how does this point exist in the will to receive? How does it relate to the will to receive? How does it connect to it? By what action did the Creator glue it to the will to receive? Please.
The perfection.
Excerpt number 6, Rabash, from the article number 13, Mighty Rock of My Salvation. Each person in the group, besides having a desire of his own, acquires desire from the friends. This is a great asset that can be obtained only through love of friends, meaning that each will absorb a lack from the friends, which he himself lacks the power to bestow. And wherever he walks, he is eagerly searching for a place where perhaps someone will be able to give him the power to bestow. Hence, when he comes into a group where everyone is thirsty for the power to bestow, everyone receives this strength from everyone else. This is considered receiving through... This is considered receiving strength from the outside in addition to the small power that he has within him. Again, each person in the group, besides having a desire of his own, acquires desire from the friends. This is a great asset that can be obtained only through love of friends, meaning that each will absorb a lack from the friends, which he himself lacks the power to bestow. And wherever he walks, he is eagerly searching for a place where perhaps someone will be able to give him the power to bestow. Hence, when he comes into a group where everyone is thirsty for the power to bestow, everyone receives this strength from everyone else. This is considered receiving strength from the outside in addition to the small power that he has within him.
What is that small force of the will to bestow that I have for myself? And what is that force where I acquire from the others? Why, in the way that I do acquire that force of bestowal from the others, I can use it correctly in spirituality? Please.
Rav, what's the difference between the point in my heart, that tiny force that I have from what the Creator gave, and what I acquire from my nine friends? What's the difference between what I have on my part and what I have that I acquire from them? What's special that I have to pay in order to acquire their points in the heart by exertion, by concessions, by conceding my ego? What's the difference between the point in my heart and their points, which I acquire through exertion? Go ahead. Why is it that precisely this form, can build a partsuf in me? Revealing the Creator.
Love. Me, from my own point in the heart, I want to integrate with my nine friends. I'm integrated from their points in the heart or from their desires through their points in the heart. Please. Try and break your mind and heart a bit. It's good.
Friends, they're devoted.
Number 7 from Rabash. Article, make for yourself a Rav and buy yourself a friend. The reason those people agreed to unite into a single group that engages in love of friends is that each of them feels that they have one desire that can unite all their views so as to receive the strength of love of others. There's a famous maxim by our sages: as their faces differ, their views differ. Those who agreed among them to unite into a group understood that there isn't such a great distance between them, in the sense that they recognize the necessity to work in love of others. Therefore, each of them will be able to make concessions in the favor of the others, and they can unite around that.
Rav, what concessions exactly am I supposed to do in order to connect to the friend? And if I have 9 friends, then what will be left of me? What concessions do I have to make in order to unite with the friends or with 9 friends? What will remain after all these concessions?
Rav, how do I, with the help of the 9 friends, can I bring down 9 lights or 9 layers of the intention to receive and remain pure? Me, with my point in the heart that I got from the Creator, and with 9 points I received from the friends. And then I have a vessel of the soul. Please. Clear, right? I come to a group that the Creator has organized, put my hand on the good fortune, and says, take this for yourself. That I start connecting to them, I must concede to each and every one, and then 9 layers of the wool to receive just come off my point in the heart. And I have to receive them from them, their points in the heart, or their 9 layers, the 9 sacred layers upon my point in the heart. Then I have a paltzuf. Let's speak about it.
Rav, what is the attitude that needs to be in me from my longing for the goal, the spiritual goal, to asking the Creator to attain the spiritual goal? What is the relation that needs to be in me in attaining the spiritual goal and the longing for the Creator to help me attain the spiritual goal?
Excerpt number 8 from Rabash 1, the purpose of society 2. Without annulling self-love, it is impossible to achieve dvikut with the Creator, meaning equivalence of form. And since it is against our nature, we need a society that will form a great force so we can work together on annulling the will to receive, called evil, as it hinders the achievement of the goal for which man was created. For this reason, society must consist of individuals who unanimously agree that they must achieve it. Then all the individuals become one great force that can fight against itself, since everyone is integrated in everyone else. Thus, each person is founded on a great desire to achieve the goal, to be integrated in one another. Each person should annul himself before the others. And this is done by each seeing the friend's merits and not their faults. But one who thinks that he is a little higher than his friends can no longer unite with them.
כבר הוא לא יכול להתאחד עמהם.
הבורא הוא ממלא את הכל למציאות.
The Creator fills all of reality, rules the whole world, on each and every one and all of them together. How do I come to identifying with him?
בבקשה.
Please. Neve, do you hear? Well, let's go. He's kind of big, so high, so full, filling everything, understands everything, spins everything. How do I come to equalize with him? How do I advance by diminishing myself to zero? How do I advance and get closer to the Creator, who is everything, who fills all of reality, understands, and spins everything? That's kind of a nonsensical question, maybe, but spin our heads a little. If I'm not zero, I'm simply not.
We'll read excerpt number
item
nine.
Item number nine. From Maor v'Shemesh. The essence of the assembly is for everyone to be in one unity and for all to seek but one purpose, to find the Creator. In every ten, there is divinity. And clearly, if there are more than ten, then there is more revelation of the Shekhinah. Thus, each one should assemble with his friend and come to him to hear from him a word about the work of the Creator and how to find the Creator. He should annul before his friend, and his friend should do the same towards him, and so should everyone do. Then, when the assembly is with this intention, then more than the calf wants to suckle, the cow wants to nurse. And the Creator approaches them, and he is with them, and great mercies and good and revealed kindness will be extended over the assembly of Israel.
How do we imagine ourselves? How can we imagine ourselves as a calf that wants to suck everything from his mother? They give examples that are very emotional, very practical, from nature. How can we imagine ourselves as a calf that deserves to receive from his mother, is designed for him, and he wants it, he demands it, and he receives it? What are we lacking to be like that? Go ahead. Rav, how can I imagine myself as the little calf that sucks from the group, as if I deserve it? On what conditions do I deserve it? I towards the group, and then the group towards the, let's say, greater group or the Creator? What is this thing with the calf? What is that example all about, to be like the calf?
Capable of looking for food on his own. That's why he needs...
Questioned. Rav, questions?
Ken.
Is it correct that we can ask only from the point in the heart?
If we want to ask anything and ask for something and get an answer, only from the point of the heart, which is supported by our exertion, our environment, and then accordingly we get an answer, because we feel then this answer that is in the reforming light and in the surrounding light that surrounds us constantly, always. But rather, if we prepare the vessel correctly, we can hear it. Everything is in the air.
That's exactly the continuing question. What's that point in the heart that receives an answer from the Creator?
That it surrounds itself with this exertion, the connection in the friend, then it has the upper nine, the first nine, and through that it receives an answer from the upper light that exists constantly around it.
Mirohan.
Ismechu ha-shamayim.
Ismechu ha-shamayim.
Almata.
На семинар. От чего я должен отказаться? От чего я должен отказаться? А в последнее время уроки идут о том, что вот ценности, важность фараона.
The last few lessons we're talking about the value of Pharaoh, who gives us the ability to connect in the first degree so we can move to the next degree. And the question here is, how much do I need to refuse something or to appreciate something else in order to get to that?
We don't need to refuse anything. We don't need to throw out anything, not to restrict or limit anything. We just need to want to be in bestowal. To acquire, to add, to purchase. Don't throw anything out by yearning for bestowal, for connection to the Creator. Well, the rest of the things that were important for us, important to us previously, would come down in importance gradually until they would disappear from the horizon. Tzimtzum, restriction, you do by the light. Meaning by yearning for love, bestowal, connection, all the other things that are opposite from that disappear, simply. This is the correct work.
Kiev.
Hello, dear Rav. You said that when I'm included in the friends by seemingly trying to connect my point in the heart to them and removing all the rest of the layers, by that I correct my will to receive. Can you detail a little bit what that means?
I can't, just as we just talked about now, I cannot disconnect from anything bad. I can only bring in its place something else that would be good. It's written in many places that one who breaks the bad receives twice as much bad. He breaks his heart. You know, we have all those sayings. We have to acquire the good. And then the bad simply disappears, goes down in importance. That's everywhere. Also in our lives, it's good to do it this way. And this is the correct approach to changing, to improving our qualities, our states. Bring in the good. The bad will simply go down. We had Salt Lake City. I haven't seen them in a while.
Rav, how can I sort my desires? How do I know which desires I can correct and which I can't?
Yeah, there's you, the group, and the Creator. And then you build this line between you, the group, and the Creator. In doing that, you are sorting out all those things that belong to this path. And that's how you advance. It's like shooting with a rifle, let's say. You have the eye. You have the target. Oh, I'm sorry, you have the sight, and you have the target. You need these 3 points. Your eye, the sight, and the crosshair, and the target. So that's what we need. I, the group, the Creator. There's nothing else. You understand how simple it is? Just don't run away from these necessary things. That's it. Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah, Rob.
Yeah.
Hello. So we're really leaping bounds here. I really feel like we're going far. And this creates a lot of confidence. But we say we have to always have the fear that we lose it. I don't see where having the fear comes in.
If not, then the Creator will take care of it and will bring us into unpleasant states, and they will help us return and acquire that trepidation. The trepidation is dependent on dependency on the Creator. There's nothing else. Everything I have and I had and what could be and will be and I currently have, it's all from Him. And I have to be always connected to the source with respect to that, and with respect to the disconnection from it, that's where my trepidation should be. That's simple. Is that clear? Good. New York.
Could you clarify who's suckling from whom? Am I suckling from the 10? Is the 10 suckling from the Creator, and with what purpose?
Here, there's a small problem. I suckle together with the 10 from the Creator. But unless we suckle from one another, we don't help one another suckle. Later, we see that this is how it works. Each one has to be greater towards the others. Great towards the others, and then we need to be to give the world also a place to suckle from. So there's mutual guarantee here. In raising the man and receiving the mud. For the time being, we are supporting one another in order to be ready to suckle from the Creator. More simply, later when we begin to ascend in the degrees, we multiply ourselves, and then each one will be as greater towards the other as smaller. It will be more pronounced. We are going to the next part of the lesson.
Before we move to the next part of the lesson, we will sing a song together.
אתה מקשיב, את הפאזל כבר מרכיב, והמילים חודרות עמוק בפנים. וזה גדל בלב, משמחה ומכאב, יוצא למסע לא מתעכב. קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית, והיא תגדל יפה ואנושית. עוד מאותם ימי בראשית קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית. שאתה מרגיש מעצמך לתת והניצוץ בך כבר מעוטט נחלים בחזומים של אהבה בעורקים פתאום השחר מתעורר קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית והיא תגדל יפה ואנושית עוד מאותם ימי בראשית קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית והיא תגדל יפה ואנושית עוד מאותם ימי בראשית קוראים